Please join me for the prayer of illumination. Holy God, send your Spirit among us to open our hearts and our minds to your word. Amen. Today's reading is from Acts 2, verses 1 through 8, and then we jump down to verses 12 through 21. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place, and suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them, and all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages, as the Spirit gave them the ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at the sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered because each one heard them speaking in their own native language. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it we hear each of us in our own native language?" All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others sneered and said, "They're filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I shall show portents in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Diane. Yeah, that has one of my favorite passages in the Bible, that it's only 9 a.m. We're not drunk yet. It's, you know, if this had happened at 9 p.m., he assumes that was a valid reason. So it's always struck me as funny. Well, this is our last Sunday looking at the book of Ephesians. And next week we have Pastor Kay from our Zimbabwe partnership will be with us. So very excited for that. And then May 29th, we'll start a new series looking at Jonah. And in last week's sermon, we saw that all are equal in the eyes of the Lord, and so we can choose to honor and show value to each other. And if we know what we value, we can know who we are, and we can know how to show it. But this week, we are moving into the wonderful image of the armor of God, Ephesians 6, starting with verse 10. "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his power. Put on the whole armor of God, so that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For our struggle is not against enemies of blood and flesh, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, so that you may be able to withstand on that evil day. And having done everything, to stand firm. Stand, therefore, and fasten the belt of truth around your waist, and put on the breastplate of righteousness. As shoes for your feet, put on whatever will make you ready to proclaim the gospel of peace. With all of these, take the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Pray in the Spirit at all times, in every prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert and always persevere in supplication for all the saints." This is the word of the Lord, so thanks be to God. Well, when I was in high school, my beloved University of Texas Longhorns had a Heisman Trophy winning running back named Ricky Williams. He was a top five pick in the NFL draft, and part of being a famous NFL player is you have to do media interviews and press conferences after your games. But Ricky had a strange habit. He would show up to the podium after the game with his helmet still on. And in fact, he had a dark visor in his helmet, so you couldn't even see his eyes while he was doing this press conference. Now, when you see a football player wearing a helmet during the game, that's not surprising. They should expect to need the helmet. But in an interview with the media, unless it's with that guy that threw a shoe at President Bush, you're probably safe in a press conference. Football is usually called a physical battle. Press conferences are not. So what gives? Well, for Ricky, it turns out that the press conference was a much harder battle than football. Because Ricky suffered from social anxiety disorder. It was a kind of phobia. And so every press conference, he was literally at war with himself, and the helmet was his kind of symbolic defense. And it also hid the fact that he couldn't look anyone in the eye. Now, luckily for Ricky, someone figured it out, and he was able to get some help from a counselor. But many in his situation would never have even sought help. After all, he had everything going for him. He was young, he was healthy, he was a millionaire, famous. What more could you want? But he says, I was never more unhappy in my life. I felt extremely isolated from my friends and family because I couldn't explain to them what I was feeling. I had no idea what was wrong with me. Now, why do I share this? Well, a helmet is a kind of armor. It protects you during the violent game. But Ricky's struggle, his need for protection, didn't end whenever he walked off the football field. His struggle was in his daily life. And so when Paul tells us in verse 11, put on the whole armor of God so that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, notice that he doesn't put any time frame on that. No limitation on our need for armor. He assumes that the wiles of the devil will be plaguing us at all times. We need our helmet at all times, even in the press conference. But sometimes it seems like church is the last place we want to show people we're wearing our helmets. We don't want to signal to the other Christians next to us that we're struggling or we're doubting. If you're struggling right now, maybe coming to church, you feel like Ricky. You feel isolated, even in this crowd. Maybe you feel like something is wrong with you because you're struggling. But Paul would say, that's no surprise at all. We need the whole armor of God all the time. Because our struggle isn't just against life's next curveball, it's against the wiles of the devil. And so, there's nothing wrong with you if you're struggling right now. There's nothing weird about being under attack. In fact, we should expect it, Paul says. After all, we're supposed to be in our armor already. Like Ricky, we need help. Now, I can't help myself. When I hear Paul repeatedly, over and over again, talking about putting on the whole armor of God, not just a part. I keep seeing a Star Wars reference in my mind. Can't help myself. And so I notice in Star Wars, you know, the Jedi walk around in cotton robes. That's their armor. But stormtroopers have on this full suit of white, gleaming clamshell armor. If you ever watched one of the movies, you know that the Jedi are experts at dodging. It's really hard to hit them. But that's why they're armored with cotton. That's all they need. But stormtroopers are decidedly not good at dodging. So they need that whole armor. This passage reminds us, as we suit up in armor, it's telling us we're not exactly Jedi when it comes to dodging life's slings and arrows. We're going to get hit a lot. And so we need that whole armor of God, stormtrooper level of armor, not just cotton. This passage reminds us to heed what Phillips Brooks said, do not pray for easy lives, pray to be stronger. Do not pray for tasks commensurate with your strength. Pray for strength commensurate with your tasks. And now Paul says, put on the whole armor of God many times. He also says to stand your ground a whole bunch of times in this passage. And I'm reminded of another movie, The Patriot, with Mel Gibson. And his character is asking the volunteer militia to stand their ground against the British regulars for two shots. And the militiaman replies, a lot can happen in the time that it takes to fire two shots. Mel Gibson replies, that's why I'm not asking you to stand there for three. When you put these together, the whole armor and stand your ground, I think Paul is telling the Ephesians and us that following Jesus means we're going to be in the line of fire. And a lot can happen during that time. But that's why we need the whole armor of God. Otherwise, we will crumble under the pressure and the strain. The only way we can stand our ground while we're in the line of fire is by having these pieces of armor that God gives to us. We need help, like Ricky. Now, what are these pieces of armor? There are several listed here. What do they mean? Well, first off, the belt of truth. Now, what is truth? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So the first way that God protects us is through the truth of Jesus Christ, the truth about who he is, the truth about what he did, the truth about why he died, the truth about the power of his resurrection, the truth about his presence with us today, and especially the truth that in Jesus we see that God is love. I know when I have struggled in life, I have been attacked by the lie that God isn't really all that loving. The belt of truth is a reminder that God is love. And the belt of truth is similar to two other pieces of armor, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation. Our faith and the knowledge of our salvation both protects us against those lies whenever we are under attack. Now, the next piece of armor that's mentioned is the breastplate of righteousness. And on the cover of your bulletin, you see a picture of a breastplate. You can see that it protects your core, it protects your heart. And so whenever we are attacked by thinking that our actions and our attitudes don't matter, the breastplate of righteousness is a reminder that following God's ways protects our heart. Now, the third piece of armor is interesting. It's shoes that make you ready to proclaim the gospel of peace. Now, shoes are interesting. They were a big deal to the Roman army. It's hard for us to imagine today, but you don't really need shoes. If you walk around all the time without shoes on, your feet will become pretty tough. And there are several cultures today that don't wear shoes. But if you're in a place like America where everything is paved with concrete, that's really bad to walk around barefoot on that. And so shoes were needed to send soldiers long distances through the Roman road system. Because the roads allowed them to move faster, allowed them to move farther, but that paved surface, you couldn't walk that barefoot. These shoes allowed them to go through the far-flung empire and to take new territory. And so for us, I think that this is saying that we are to go wherever God's road takes us. The first pieces of armor, they're about surviving, standing firm wherever you happen to be. But shoes mean we are sent off into new territory. And why are we sent? To spread the gospel of peace, this says. Now, this is interesting because we know what the gospel is, right? The truth of Jesus Christ, that belt of truth. But adding peace onto the end is emphasizing one specific aspect of Jesus' story. It's saying, tell people that because of Jesus, they don't have to worry about their relationship with God. God has already taken care of it. That because of Jesus, they can enjoy life and not have to worry about placating their petty false gods. That because of Jesus, they can rest by letting go and letting God. That is the gospel of peace. Now, this is similar to there's only one offensive piece of equipment listed in this entire passage. Everything else is armor. There's one offensive equipment listed, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. So the gospel of peace allows us to go wherever we're sent on a mission, but the Holy Spirit is the one who actually does the fighting. A missionary once told me her job was to be a witness, but it was the Holy Spirit's job to actually convert people. Now, since this is Pentecost, we remember what happened when the Holy Spirit first showed up to do some fighting for the church. We heard that text. The followers of Jesus were given new languages, what they needed to do their mission, to tell the good news. And 3,000 people came to Christ that day. Now, did you know that Presbyterians were once known for how often the Holy Spirit worked through us to share the gospel of peace? Did you know that revivals, like big tent revivals, that started with Scottish Presbyterians in the 1620s? We were ahead of the game there. Did you know that in the early 1900s, Presbyterians were the fastest growing denomination in America? That up until 1952, Presbyterians had more adult baptisms than infant baptisms, because we were spreading the gospel of peace. Did you know that in the early 1900s, it was so common that every church had to fill out on a form all of the outpourings of the Holy Spirit that resulted in conversions? It was so common. We used to be known for the ways that the Holy Spirit worked through us to help people know Christ. By way of contrast, today only 1 in 5 people even bother to pray for their non-Christian acquaintances. The vast majority of people have never shared their faith with anyone else ever and never will. I think I've shared before that we did a prayer walk in my previous church, and I took a group of freshman guys, ninth graders, with me as we did this prayer walk. And at the last house, I dared two of the bolder boys to go up to the house, ring the doorbell, and just give them the little postcard that we'd prayed for them and just tell them, hey, just wanted to let you know you were prayed for today. And they could leave after that. And they went up and did it. And to their credit, they even stuck around to have a little conversation with the people afterward. And when they came back to the groups, I didn't even go up with them. I sent them off on their own, the two of them. And I told them, you just did more evangelism than most people will do in their entire lives. And all it took was a willingness to tell someone you're praying for them. How might the Holy Spirit want to fight through you? You don't have to have some elaborate defense of your faith. It might be as simple as letting someone know you're praying for them. Even that is more than most people will do to spread the gospel of peace in their entire lives. And you can do that. It's not hard. People will not bite your head off for you telling them, I'm praying for you. Paul says in verse 18, keep alert for those opportunities to pray for someone else. Sisters and brothers, we know as we go through our life, we aren't Jedi. We're not going to be able to dodge the slings and arrows of life. We need the stormtrooper armor of God, because we're going to get hit a lot. Like Ricky, we need help. But our help, our armor, comes from our faith in Jesus Christ. When we are attacked by the lies of the enemy, we are protected by the truth of God's love in Jesus Christ. But that protection is for a purpose. It's so that the Holy Spirit can spread the gospel of peace through us. And we only have 2 weapons, though, in our arsenal. One is alertness for prayer, and the other is the Holy Spirit, that willingness to let the Holy Spirit work through you. So how is God protecting you right now? And how might the Spirit spread the gospel of peace through you? We are protected for a purpose. We are armed for a mission. Time to march. Amen.